Thank you for joining me again today, and as promised, I want to introduce you to two of my good friends. Their names are Arthur and Thomas, and they've helped me to understand who God is. But first, a reminder of what we were talking about last time. We went to the very start of the Bible and read the following in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. And I had us pause there in the reading so I could ask my question. Where did God come from? The text says, in the beginning, God. It seems that God was all there was, just God. It's obvious there was no heavens and there was no earth, because the rest of the sentence says that God created those. Genesis 1:1 continues, God created the heavens and the earth. This seemed like a pretty valid question for me to ask. Where did God come from? And yesterday I shared with you how I answered it from within the Bible itself. The answer is, God comes from nothing and God comes from no one. God just is. God is. And God has always been and God will always be. God has no beginning. God always existed. There never was a time when God did not exist. God always was. And since God always was and God is, then God always will be. There will never be a time when God does not exist. In the past, there was God. In the present, there is God. And in the future, there will be God. This is what makes God, God. It's amazing to me how when we read the Bible, which I do every day, the reading itself prompts questions that we cannot answer. But the more we read, the more our questions eventually do get answered. And all the scriptures I read from last time are available on the God Is Facebook and Twitter pages. Just go to God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll see the references and be able to read them for yourself. That is God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook and Twitter. As we read along in the Bible, it is essential that we learn from others what God has already taught them about himself from the Word of God. Now, not just anybody. We have to learn from trusted sources. I'm talking about men and women who have read and studied the Bible in depth. They've thought about it deeply. They've meditated on the Word of God. And far more than that, they love God. They are intimate with Jesus Christ. And they share an established, evangelical, Reformed Protestant theology in keeping with true Christianity. Typically, they are older than us, and we look up to them. They're further ahead in Christian faith and practice, and so they have something wonderful to offer people who have not followed Christ as long or as closely. And of course, they offer affirmation and proof of faith in Christ to those of you who are not Christians. And I have many such mentors. Most times, their wisdom is found in books because they have chosen, thankfully, to write about what they've learned. And I say thankfully because in the case of the two gentlemen I am going to now introduce you to, they're both dead. The first is Arthur. He actually goes by the name A.W., and his last name is memorable. It's Pink, like the color. A.W. Pink. He lived between the years 1886 and 1952. He was a prolific writer, pastor, and theologian. And one of his finest pieces of writing is the opening chapter in his thin and very readable book published by Baker Books called The Attributes of God. Amazon has it, and you should get it and read it. I'll put a link on the God Is W-E-Z-E Facebook and Twitter pages. Just go to God Is W-E-Z-E on Facebook and Twitter, and you will see the link. His opening chapter is titled The Solitariness of God. In A.W. Pink's book, The Attributes of God, the opening chapter is The Solitariness of God, and that is exactly what we've been talking about this week here on God Is. When I read this short chapter some time ago, it blew me away because I had not previously thought about the solitariness of God. Solitariness is a great word. The root word solitary means existing alone. So the solitariness of God describes God as existing alone. Today, let me give you a strong flavor for the genius that is A.W. Pink's assessment for who God is. I'll read a little bit from this chapter. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1. There was a time, if time it could be called, when God, in the unity of his nature, dwelt all alone. In the beginning, God. There was no heaven where his glory is now particularly manifested. There was no earth to engage his attention. There were no angels to him to sing his praises. No universe to be upheld by the word of his power. There was nothing, no one but God. And that not for a day, a year, or an age, but from everlasting. During a past eternity, God was alone, self-contained, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, in need of nothing. Had a universe, had angels, had human beings been necessary to him in any way, they also would have been called into existence from all eternity. That is A.W. Pink in his very readable book, The Attributes of God on the Solitariness of God. What Pink writes is instructive for us. It's brilliantly written. And let me just break it down for you. He is saying what the scripture says. Before the beginning of Genesis 1:1, God was all alone. There was nothing and there was no one. Just God. Think about that. Really think about that. If you're listening via the podcast, pause me and think about that. There was no heaven because the next part of Genesis 1:1 says God created the heavens. There was no earth because the next part of Genesis 1:1 says God created the earth. There wasn't even a universe. And there certainly were no angels because we read later in the Bible about God creating them. As Pink said, there was nothing, no one but God. And the fact God was solitary, God was alone, not just for a day, a year, or an age, but everlasting, forever. As far back as you'd care to go in your imagination, God existed alone. Now, if you are driving, do not do this, but otherwise, close those eyes of yours and just think on that. It might well make your mind ache because your mind is designed to think in time. Beginnings and endings, but forever in the past, God existed all alone. Still, unpacking Pink's theology here, let me move on to the next part of his writing, which has helped me so much. I hope this will help you today. Arthur Pink says, quote, God was alone, self-contained, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, in need of nothing, unquote. Wow, I love that. God is self-contained. That means God is complete. All that he needs, he already has within himself. God is self-sufficient. God needs no outside help. God requires nothing and no one. God is independent. God doesn't depend on anything or anyone. And then Pink says that God is self-satisfied. He is excessively satisfied with himself. God has no needs. God doesn't need you or me. God doesn't need angels. He doesn't need earth or the universe. God doesn't need heaven. God was alone, self-contained, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, in need of nothing. This is what our friend Arthur is saying about God before the beginning, and given that God never changes, he is consistently the same. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 quotes God, "For I, the Lord, do not change." God is solitary, in need of nothing. And this, of course, prompts the obvious question. Then why did God create it all? Why did God make the heavens and the earth and angels and us? Why did God make you? Why did God make me? Ah, these are great questions, and we will resolve these in the days ahead. But I do not want us to lose focus now. I said I would be introducing you to two friends. The first is A.W. Pink. I think his insights here are well taken from the Bible. This is the text before us, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God." The second person of interest to us as we think together about God before the beginning is Thomas. His first name is Thomas, and his last name is Watson. And many of you have met him before on this broadcast. He is one of my favorite theologians. He lived between the years 1620 and 1686. He was a Puritan, and his book, A Body of Divinity, is always right next to me as they research and write for this ministry. I promise you, it's very readable. You ought to get a copy of this as well. And again, I will link to it on God Is, WEZE, Facebook, and Twitter. Thomas Watson has an encyclopedic knowledge of the scriptures and a gift for explaining the Bible in clear ways. He's a prodigious, a tremendous teacher, and he's my teacher. And so I want to pass along to you some of what I have learned from him regarding God before the beginning. His writing stimulates our minds as well. And here's what Watson does. He lists three types of beings. The first are those who have a beginning and an end. For example, birds and fish. They are born, they live, and they die. They cease to exist. In fact, just yesterday, I nearly stepped on a dead bird on the sidewalk. These are those who have a beginning and have an end. The second type of being are those who have a beginning but have no end. That's us, human persons. Think also of angels. All people have a beginning. That is when we are conceived in our mother's womb. And all people live forever. We will either live forever in the presence of God in heaven, or we will live forever separated from the presence of God forever in what the Bible calls hell. But we can be sure that all of us live forever. And according to Thomas Watson, the third type of being is the one without a beginning and without an end, God. God is the only being who had no beginning and has no end. He quotes 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, describing God, the King Eternal. The King Eternal. Now, I'll soon have to go, but keep this on your mind, and when you come back tomorrow, I'll remind you of Thomas Watson's insightful comments, and we'll talk more about them as we continue to learn about God before the beginning. So join me again tomorrow for God Is.